Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. More than 2 months ago, Nicholas Cruz allegedly entered the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and he opened fire. In all, he shot and killed 17 people, and another 17 were left wounded. Among the dead was 17-year-old Joaquin Oliver, and his friends and family called him Guac for short. The gun used in the shooting, an assault-style M&P-15 weapon, is manufactured by Smith & Wesson in Springfield, Massachusetts, and Joaquin Oliver's parents, in memory of their son and to advocate for greater gun control, are speaking publicly against gun violence. They're here in our studio right now. They'll be in Springfield tomorrow to unveil an art installation titled Walls of Demand near the Smith & Wesson factory. Thank you so much for coming in, Manuel and Patricia Oliver. Appreciate your time in here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This can't be easy.
He's not.
To be out talking about your son. I'd love to hear about him, though, before we talk about what you're doing in town. Please tell me about your son. Tell me who he was and what he loved to do. What was he about?
Joaquin was a wonderful person. He was always making sure that everybody will be okay. He was in love with fairness, like everything needed to be positive. Not only for him, for his family, but also for his friends and new people that he will meet. He will always be taking care of people. Mm-hmm. He was a very protective person.
Was he a junior or senior?
He was a senior.
He was a senior. Right. Do you know what his plans were? What he was hoping to do after high school?
He had a few thoughts. Very creative human being. But we do remember one conversation asking him, so what are you going to do? What are your plans in life? And he will answer more than once, I don't know yet, but it's going to be really big. I'm going to be doing some great things. Mm-hmm. That was an actual conversation. That was a level of conversations that we had with our son.
Did you see an artistic streak in him? I'm just looking at knowing one parent, at least one parent, is an artist. Did he have that quality? Creative, yes, but
he had it in a writing way. He was a great writer. What I do when it comes to art is more painting, but Joaquin was an awesome writer. I mean, being here for only 14 years, he was 100% bilingual, of course. But he will also be one of the best students from the creative writing class.
Mm-hmm. To explain that you came here from Venezuela when he was 3 years old, that's right. And you have another child.
Yes, we do.
And
we have Andrea. She's 25.
25. Okay.
And she was very close to Joaquin. Also, right. They were very 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 nice friends to each other. They were supporting to each other a lot.
Did she, when she was in high school, did she go to the same school?
Yeah, she went to the same school.
I also know that what I heard was that he loved basketball and that that was a big part of his life. So I imagine, I know you're going to be in Springfield tomorrow, so there's being in Springfield for a very specific reason, but the Basketball Hall of Fame being there is quite something too. I hope that he knows that somewhere
out
there.
I know. Yeah. It's funny that you bring that because actually, ironically, in the invitation that we are just posting on social media, we're letting people know that we're going to be in the home of the Basketball Hall of Fame and headquarters of Smith & Wesson. So
as I sit here and look at you, and I have to say again, it's remarkable that you can come out and speak publicly just a few months after after this loss, this huge loss. I'd love to hear now about the art that you're bringing around the country, not just to Springfield. In particular, Springfield is where this gun was manufactured, or at least by the same company. What's on the mural? What's going to be involved in the unveiling tomorrow?
The murals, it's a project under the organization that we started it. Our organization name is Change the Ref. And part of that project that we're doing includes art through the Walls of Demand. So Walls of Demand, it started it by coincidence. We were invited by Wade, the Heat superstar basketball player, to be part of a gallery where he was going to show some. He was going to honor the victims of Parkland. And it happened that in that gallery there was an empty wall, And I had the option of doing some painting and writing some words demanding a change.
This is after the shooting.
This is after the shooting. And it became impactful. A lot of people were involved with the idea of bringing art. There was also an immediate connection between we as parents of a victim and the leaders of the youth movement. So that made perfect sense for us because at that point we understood that Joaquin is one of them as long as we give him a voice and a presence.
They're remarkable young people. What does change the ref, though, mean? I'm not sure if I understand that.
Change the ref, it's a name that actually Joaquin created. We were in a basketball game. I used to coach his team. And one day, the ref made terrible calls, and he was expulsed from the game. And he asked me to do something, so when I went to fix things, I was also expulsed from the game. So we were both driving back home. He said, "Dad, you know what? I don't think there's any way that we can have a fair game with this ref. Actually, I think there's a connection between him and the other team." So then it happened what we all know. And those words were a perfect definition of what is going on in Congress today. If one of the teams is somehow connected to the ref or giving money to the ref is not able to make a decision on their fairness, or what we call a fair game. So the main mission of Change the Ref is to clean any connection with any super lobby, NRA, directly or indirectly, with any of the Congress people that is representing us.
Would you describe now the mural itself and describe what it means to be, I don't know if you're painting multiple murals and leaving them places on sheets or if you're carrying one around, but what does it mean to physically make art that is so much about this loss? And describe what it looks like. And Patricia, I'm sorry, I don't know if you're making also painting. So
No, I do not paint. I just support Manuel, my husband. Right. So we are together in this movement and I support him, but I'm not an artist at all.
She is in her way. We're also showing that we are a strong family, and we like to show that we are together in this. We travel together. So it's the art. The way I see this is not me being an artist; is Joaquin being an activist. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does it look like? I need to have an image. So
there's images of Joaquin that we have used in several of the walls, in all of them. And then we write with a roller and paint. We demand, and that demand could change from one place to the other. So we demanded a change. We demanded a life. We demanded different things.
Different cities so far.
In different cities, yeah.
And leaving the murals in place.
The murals stay there. Actually, the final destination of the mural, we're not worried about that. They could go from one place to the other according to the location. For us, the on that side of our foundation, the goal is to being able to create 17 murals in 17 different cities.
And for you to physically create this, is it more difficult than you can imagine? Is it like being with your son? Is it cathartic? Is it?
It's totally being with my son, supporting him. It is a therapy also. This is who I was before. I mean, I didn't start it painting. I painted it before everything happened. So I'm not changing my ways at all. This is who I am. This is what I know. This is my comfort zone. In an uncomfortable way, but it's what I know how to do. So it's very hard, actually, to go through the process of starting and finishing the painting. But there's also a lot of support from students and people that love what is happening. They get, again, there's a big connection that brings you that strength that you need to go ahead and finish it.
Patricia Oliver, I know that you're a witness to this as you started this organization together. What does it mean to look at your husband's work to see it come to life What do you make of the murals?
Well, it is very hurtful to me to see that, you know, what is he bringing to life, because somehow you can see some life of Joaquin in every mural, that, you know, that we are, even though that we are in a mission, that we know for sure Joaquin will be the first leader in Change the Ref. Also, it makes me accept. I have to deal with the acceptance that this is happening because of what happened to us. So to me, it's like a process. It's therapeutical, but maybe it could be the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of mixed feelings there. So to me, it's very exhausting. It's really very exhausting.
Both very very brave to come out, not only on this radio show, but, you know, even to be, you know, to be in large groups in cities and places. But it sounds like you are surrounded, as you said, by people who are in the middle of this with you. Can you talk a little bit about the message you're trying to send to Smith & Wesson? I mean, it may be obvious as a gun manufacturer, but what are you saying when you go to Springfield?
Well, number one, the location itself, the being able to bring Joaquin's voice to the same location that manufactured that weapon, that was the one that was used at the shooting department, that is a strong thing to do. Now, here's the thing. We need to impact people in these actions. We believe that impacting people is way more powerful than convincing people. Convincing people will take a lot of time. So we need to be, we need the courage to show how the drama that we're living and how that could be a drama in any family, randomly. This could happen to anybody.
Right.
Okay.
And as you well know, this has happened to other families. As you
I know,
very well
even,
know, right?
Even, and just to finish my point, even to anybody that works at Smith & Wesson. That's
right. Their
so
children.
We're all exactly. Risking our kids' lives.
Right. So tomorrow is the 19th anniversary of the Columbine shooting. It is a national student walkout. You're participating in something that's aligned with that. It's more than 5 years after the Sandy Hook shooting in Connecticut. You're trying to impact the public, and you're trying to make an impression on Congress and the lobbying groups like the NRA. But is there something that's going to make it any different now with what you're doing?
Yes, the new voters. I believe that this time the victims are defending themselves. Not only that, the victims are used to receive fast answers because they're under technology through their whole lives, so they don't have much patience in here. So I really think there's a difference between this time and others because of the impatience and power of these young leaders.
Mm-hmm. And Patricia, have you met some of these are classmates of your sons. Have you met them? Have you seen them since the shooting?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty powerful kids.
Yeah, they are very powerful kids. And also you get impressed that they are so articulated and they are so determined to take actions from themselves. So that's what it makes, I think, a huge difference from the other events. This time, I don't know why, because they woke up and they say, yeah, okay, no more. We need to take out, you know, we need to take ourselves or go out and vote and do something to make the difference.
Right, and they are of that age, you know. I have a 17-year-old also.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You they know, are that the, age, the oldest to talk.
The oldest is 20 years old.
I want to thank you both so much for coming in. This is a big deal for you and for us, so thanks. Manuel and Patricia Oliver are the parents of Joaquin Oliver, one of the 17 victims of the Parkland shooting, and they will be in Springfield tomorrow unveiling a mural near the Smith & Wesson factory, joining a forum on gun control, and there's more information about this on our website, radioboston.org. Thank you both again so much.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR station. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is Radio Boston.